Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of EastEnders Weekly. We're safely off the ship.
Yeah, we are. Did we mention we went on holiday?
I don't think we did.
Did we not mention?
No.
I don't think people knew we went away for a couple of weeks.
No one noticed we were gone.
Oh, no. Well, actually, that's not true. And I'd like to say thank you to everyone who got in touch and said that they missed the show when we didn't release one that week. And also, wondered where we'd been. So, yes, thank you for your messages. It's been really kind.
We're still here. And we're back again.
We are.
And we're still queer.
And
that's a little rhyme. Unlike Karen.
Buy me a beer. Get used to it.
Right, so we are discussing the big week of Phil Mitchell's demise, possibly.
Mm.
These are the episodes that aired in the UK between 29th of July and the 2nd of August. So we're going over a month, which is always confusing to say, but I've said it now. And who are you?
I'm Alex, you are, by the way.
Official co-host.
Co-host of the officially unofficial podcast of EastEnders.
Yes, BBC. We've contacted our lawyers like you asked. And that's our get-out clause. And I am Ben, the host.
Absolutely. And before we go any further, really quickly, I just want to congratulate Emma Barton, who, as we all know, plays Honey on EastEnders, who has been announced as one of the celebrities, I'm doing air quotes as I say it, for this year's Strictly Come Dancing.
Yes.
For any international listeners, Strictly Come Dancing is your version, or our version, of Dancing with the Stars.
That depends where they're from. It's called Let's Dance Somewhere Else.
Oh, is it?
Because that's what OT's sister was on in Germany.
Isn't Let's Dance the charity one that they do in the UK, the comic relief one?
I hate all of them.
Oh, I know you do.
But I'm here to support Emma.
Well, we're going to have to watch Strictly this year now. There's no excuses, so we can see how Emma gets on.
Well, last year, Woody Wood was on it, and he went out on week two.
I know, which was good, because I didn't really want to support him anyway. But Emma is putting some time to one side for this.
I know, she's got the scriptwriters in a dither.
She really has. She's basically asked them for time off, so she can rehearse and give her all for the show. I mean, dedicated. So I'm hoping for a semi-final, quarter-final.
So is Adam going to take away for like a long holiday?
Yeah,
away. And people will be all upset.
Hopefully Adam will be in the audience.
Oh yeah, and it'll probably be Billy, isn't it? Penny. Is his name Penny? Fevwick? I can't remember his name.
Perry, not Penny.
Also Fevwick, I can't remember his name. I'm not very good
Finwick,
with his name.
Finwick, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
But there's bound
He'll
to be lots
there.
Of... Yeah,
there's bound and Janet to be... might be there.
Oh, I hope Janet Grace. Is. Yeah, and Will.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, clapping along to their TV mum. Who is it you want to see on Strictly this year? You predicted. You said to me you predicted.
Oh, a celebrity.
Yeah.
Jay Blades.
Yes,
from
Jay Blades.
The amazing show Money for Nothing. Or Repair Shop. Because he keeps appearing on things. So I think he's like doing the rounds.
All right.
I hate him. So.
Okay, cool. So you're looking forward to seeing him on television.
Yeah, but I'd love the presenter to do it.
Okay.
I can't remember her name now. I love her though. Oh, Sarah Moore.
Sarah Moore. Oh, I love Sarah Moore.
She's the most fuddy-duddy presenter ever.
Apart from ourselves. We're just as funny, Daddy.
But I love Sarah Moore. I'd rather she did it over Jay, but he always takes her jobs.
Wow.
Anyway, this is a really random... It's a TV show we're talking about, which gets about 10,000 viewers.
Yeah, and
BBC
it's only broadcast in the UK. So let's move on quickly.
Money for Nothing, everyone. Look it up. It's really good. You upcycle.
She goes
and
to...
the presenter's really funny.
She goes to the dump and asks people, can I take that out of the skip and make something from it? And they're like, yeah, of course you can. And then gives them the money that she makes from it.
Yeah, but she doesn't wear her glasses. So when she gives the money back, she like puts the money really close to her eyes.
Yeah, because she can't read little notes so well.
Oh, it's a great show. Money for Nothing. Look it up, everyone.
Congratulations, Emma Barton, for doing Strictly.
Oh, yeah, that's what
we've gone off topic.
Yeah, well, you thought it was going to be one of the Taylors, didn't you?
I did. I predicted it was going to be Keegan.
And I said to you, imagine if it's Honey.
Mm.
We were like,
No, I know. When you said it, I was like, oh, I hope not. And then the next day, it's like, Emma Barton's doing it. And so I'm happy. I am very happy.
Yeah, well, I like Emma. She's fun. She was on the One Show and she was like doing fun things.
I think she'll be good. I really do. I think she'll stick to it and do well.
Right. So we're behind overtime. Whatever. What is it, behind time?
No.
We're overtime
now. We're overtime now.
So don't know what we're going to do. But it's fine. We're going
to stop talking and we'll move on to the next
one. Yeah, we're moving on. With the first one we're talking about is Rainey and Stuart.
Yes.
Because their romance is blossoming.
Yeah, a romance that I had said I've wanted to see. Mm. And last week I said I'm really glad they're going through with it. However...
They both seem a bit like reformed though. So it's not like
it's
evil
not,
like
exactly.
we
exactly. It's not the romance that I was hoping
it's
for.
It's loving and friendly.
With Stuart, but I think it'll take only one thing to tip Stuart over the edge and make it become... a bit more demonstrative.
Well, they kind of
them.
Broke up at the end anyway of the week, didn't they?
Yeah,
so but it's already a bit.
It won't last that long. Mm. Their breakup won't last that long. They play Boggle, for heaven's sake. Mm. I think Boggle is the start of any good relationship.
Now, it is rainy because she's Kathy's bad skills of giving her pills last week.
Yes.
She was asking like Bobby to do loads of things for her. Mm. And then he said no and walked out of the house. Did you notice she like quickly jumped and got the phone and wasn't in pain when she picked up the phone suddenly? So is she putting it on?
She's putting it on for Bobby, yeah, because she sees Bobby as her little slave, doesn't she? So
I didn't know if that was like, she's a good actress, so I was like, no, she wouldn't do that on purpose.
Was it acting within an acting bubble?
Yeah.
So the actress was playing Rainey acting that she was more hurt than she was?
Yes.
That's skills. That's RADA. That's BAFTA award winning.
Okay, so she is putting it on. So do you think she's getting too happy with these pills? Or is Stuart seeing too much into it?
Well, she was being a bit twitchy, wasn't she, when she was at Wolford East, when they were having the meal.
She's quite happy to keep taking them as well.
Yeah, and she...
Under Kathy's guidance.
She was, you know, at least she was trying to take them with a good meal, because she was a bit upset that Stuart was kind of hurrying her along in order to get to the meeting that ultimately they ended up going to.
Hot first date.
Yeah, well, yeah. Go to Wolford East, go to a counselling session.
Wolford East is literally the place where to go for dates.
And there's really nowhere else classy, inverted commas
Prince
again.
Albert. They have cakes.
But with the lunchtime menu.
That's where Martin and Cush go.
For dinner, there's nowhere else other than Wolford East. Well, there's McClunky's, or there's Bill's Place. Or there's the Vic, I suppose. Do Vic do food in the evening?
Not sure.
Now
that Aunt Babe's not there, probably not. Yeah, there's more than one restaurant, though, in the world.
In the world, but in Wolford, there's only Wolford East. There's the Caff as well. There's Bridge Street Caff, isn't there?
Argy Bargy was seen this week.
Mm.
Also at the same time, a poster like in the background for Ronnie's gym.
And the gym itself.
Yeah.
We saw the gym.
So that is, are they hinting?
Well, it's nice that they're using different parts of the set. I mean, last week we saw not Zach Morris, we saw Keegan running around the set going all kinds of directions in order to get to the tube station, which was a bit odd because I've always just thought it's quite a direct
one
route.
One way.
Yeah, down Bridge Street, turn left, go past Wolford East, and then you find it to your right next to E20. But apparently it's much further than we were first led to believe.
I found it interesting they showed the gym, though. It's like they haven't showed that in years. Mm. So maybe Jack, with his money troubles, he'll remember. Oh, wait. Ronnie must have left that to me in our will.
Yeah, Ronnie won, password.
So, yeah, that was interesting, I thought, when they were going through.
I'd like them to reopen new sets. I mean, again, not to keep going on about Kate Oates, but Kate Oates did... some executive producer, I don't know. But she did open up a lot of new locations for Coronation Street. There was more money, perhaps, in order for that to be created. But, I mean, there's no reason why they can't reuse existing outer sets, you know,
because there's loads of little bits that they don't use anymore.
Lots of little bits and pieces, as you said,
classic EastEnders all the time,
like the Argy Bargy and the gym. They can just open them up again, just revive them a little bit. You don't need an internal set for them, just know that they're there.
I was saying it last year, I want Cush to be a personal trainer in the gym. Perfect. Bit more money for him.
But Cush is busy.
His second job.
Because he's already got a second job now, looking after Martin's store.
We can't talk about that because we're meant to be talking about Rainey. But at the moment, we're talking about her on her way to her date.
Yeah. So as she was walking to her date.
Yeah. So they went to date the Wolford East, and then he took her off to a hot location of a meeting of like-minded people.
Yes. Well, it was against Substance Abuse Anonymous along
something
those
like
lines.
That.
Yeah. At the community centre. So much closer as well. So much easier to get to if you need to get them in a hurry.
Yeah, because it's not the one that he went to before in secret and she spied on him while eating biscuits. It's a different one, isn't it?
She was pretty much gorging on the biscuits on this occasion as well. There's something about biscuits and drug abusers.
You can blame her, I would.
I must say, a biscuit is my drug of choice. I've got a packet of chocolate digest. Again, it's second week in a row I have a biscuit next to me. Chocolate chip cookie last week. This week, chocolate digestive.
Disapproving looks from me.
Well, the first thing you said when I came in with them is like, that's going to cause so much noise on the microphone.
Yeah, so don't touch them. Whatever you just did, I'll just edit out. So it's fine. But it ended up in tears because she kind of got the impression that the only reason he was with her was because he wanted to try and help her, and all he can ever see is her as an addict.
Yeah. I mean, the whole week, I got the impression that Rainey was less involved or up with the idea of him, her and Stuart than what Stuart was. Stuart seemed more into Rainey than the opposite way round.
I guess because someone finally did pay her attention, I guess she clutches onto it, doesn't she?
I suppose it goes back to what you were just saying about how she was perhaps exaggerating her ailments in front of Bobby so someone would pay her attention. And the first person she, as you said, when she jumped to her phone was to get in touch with Stuart. So perhaps she doesn't want someone to feel sorry for her. She just wants someone to care for her and give her some attention. Yeah, because she doesn't really get the attention. I mean, that's the thing she doesn't get from Max either.
Or her mum, or like anyone in her life.
She's always been pushed to one side.
There's a little sneaky reference as well about Ian sleeping with her this week, which I liked.
Yes.
That was good.
Ian never really shows any kind of affection toward Rainey. There's very little. Like she's always, he's always pained to see her there on the sofa.
Yeah, Ian needs a bit of work actually as a character, because him and Ben are meant to be brothers, but like you don't really get anything when they have a scene together, I don't think.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously there's the big Mitchell story, which we'll talk about a bit later on, and you think that Ian would have some kind of talking to Ben and finding out what's been going on.
There just doesn't seem to be anything between them. Like, you don't buy them as brothers, do you?
Not anymore. And they don't, there's no affection between them. I suppose at least Ian is sticking up to his word that he's trying to spend more time and build more of a relationship with Bobby this week, because Bobby offers to work at Wolford East. So there's that link between them.
Well, speaking of how busy Wolford East is, we also had continuing storyline of Habiba and Adam, which is like, it's a bit of a Hayley. Like every week you just get the same like thing, but in different places. And we have him saying he'll go on a date with her, and then her getting all dressed up and Ikra noticing, and then him cancelling the date, which is, we keep having this.
Yeah, but he cancelled it because Honey is also
suspicious.
Billy's words has stuck in her mind now, and she's seen something between Adam and Habiba, and now she's pretty sure that perhaps there is something.
So she keeps, like, when she saw them both together, she keeps trying to get in between them or stop them dead in conversation. And obviously on the other side we've got Ikra working to stop them, so you know, maybe Ikra and Honey might team up.
Yeah, but Adam's got that secret on Ikra because she got that text message.
Yeah, but how does he know? Like, it wasn't that bad of a text message. It said, great time last night. Like, does he know more than we know?
I don't think he knows that which we do know. And spoiler if you don't know this already, but that Ikra is gay. And so this person, this Ash on the phone, is actually another woman. I don't think he knows that much.
Not that much of a spoiler, because they've hinted at it with Tina like twice.
But they've announced it as well. They've released that Ash is going to be a female. I think it's more the fact it's the religion, it's the Ahmeds, you know, the elders not being quite so comfortable with her, you know, having a relationship outside of the family, and it's not really the done thing still in their eyes that she should, you know, stray away.
I don't know, because they're like happy for Habiba to go off and... Although they don't know what Habiba's doing, do they?
Well, they're not, are they? They don't know that Habiba is having this relationship with Adam.
So many secrets in this family.
But you say they don't know, but Miriam had done it. And so Miriam is also in the loop with Ikra. So, I mean, if Ikra was just... Ikra's already been honest once with them, saying, you know, this is the reason why I left. This is the reason we ran away, came to Wolford. It really wouldn't take Ikra a lot just to say, I've met... But I think it's because it's another woman that she's seeing. But she doesn't really need to give that much detail. Just that...
Or she could just say to Adam, I've already told them. Like, call his bluff, maybe.
Well, Honey called his bluff this week, didn't she? Because Adam was making excuses for why they can't go out. Honey had made herself look really good for him, trying to impress him, trying to make him forget about Habiba. And then when he turns up...
He'd already arranged his date with Habiba, hadn't he?
He'd arranged his date with Habiba. He made an excuse, though, that he had to see one of his old dentist pals. And so Honey called his bluff.
That old chestnut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, so many of his pals seem to come down for the weekend, don't they? And Honey said, oh, I don't mind being the third wheel. I'll come along. I'll sit with you guys. And so Adam was like, oh, look at me being selfish. Oh, you want a nice night out? Just you and me. I'll cancel it with him. It's fine. But then he, as you said, the hot place to be, he then takes him to Wolford East.
I know, so I feel like where they're working.
Well, Ikra wasn't, but Habiba was. And so then Habiba was having these little secret conversations with him at the table, which Honey was very alerted by. Every time she went off somewhere to get a glass of wine or went to the toilet, Habiba would be there with her little book, like going, so
Yeah, and she was like really anything. Dressed up as well, because like, she thought she was going on a date. Yeah. So Honey knows, but she's just not wanting to admit it, I don't think.
Yeah, she won't.
Until she catches them, like, red-handed.
But I don't think she wants to catch them red-handed. She wants it to end. She wants Adam. It's not that she wants to catch Adam and say, ha-ha, now I'm going to dump you. I think she actually, because she sees that Adam's so good with her kids.
He can dance, he can sing, he can act.
He's a triple threat. And also, she doesn't want to be humiliated in front of Billy, because that's the last thing anyone wants, to be told that Billy was right.
True, it's almost as bad as Mitch was right. So
yeah, no one wants that.
But yeah, I like it when Ick was being feisty, because she's quite strong and feisty towards Adam. She doesn't seem that scared until he starts mentioning her little secret. But I want a bit more of Ikra's feisty side. I enjoy it.
But it's nice we're seeing more of Ikra. It's a shame that Habiba is still a false start in my eyes. It's like, this is the story they've given her. She's having an affair story.
She can't really do anything else until she gets over this story, really.
Once Adam's gone. But it's nice to see Adam being more involved as well. We always wanted Adam to be more involved. We thought at first it was going to be a undermining Honey storyline, which I suppose it still is, but not in the way we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's true. Right, so next up, we've got a very special feature, because we've got a review of the year. Not this year.
Not just yet.
No. Classic EastEnders have just finished 1989 in the UK, so we've obviously watched it all the whole year, so we're going to give a little review of it.
There's a magical mystery tour of the human digestive system in Body Matters in half an hour on BBC One after this evening's episode of EastEnders.
Right, we're here to sum up, review one of the oddest years of EastEnders. Like, going into it, there was lots of things online saying how it's the worst year of EastEnders, or one of the worst years of EastEnders. You know, we were watching about 4 months in, we were like, it's not that bad, it's quite good actually. But summer low, I suppose, is how you would describe it.
I didn't think it was that bad actually, compared to what years we've ordealed since the 1989 debacle. This is when Julie and Tony, the executive producers, the long-running executive producers, had a hand on the show, kind of nurtured it through their early years. Had it all planned out. They stepped down, gave it over to Mike Gibbon, who then got in cahoots with a writer, and they kind of wrote out the stories themselves. And they were advised that they had to take a more light-hearted view for the year. It had to be not so dark.
You know, Trevor.
I mean, EastEnders has that reputation now that it's always been a very dark soap, always quite gritty compared to, even at the time, Coronation Street was a much light-hearted one. And they were advised to make EastEnders more light-hearted. So I don't want to put all the blame on their shoulders, because they were told to do that. And at times, I have to say, because I wasn't used to it at the beginning, it was a bit like, ooh, this is night and shade, I don't like this at all. But as you got used to 89, I didn't mind it so much.
As you got used to it being rubbish, you didn't mind
it. It wasn't rubbish. It was just the humour was... to be fair, some of the humour they did in 89 was arguably better than some of the humour they've done since then. And I've said before that we've discussed Trevor, and I know you mock me by saying, because Trevor has grown on me, but Trevor has grown on me. The character of Trevor being like this this comic... stored. Although we shouldn't really make fun of someone who is slightly slower. It would be more interesting if we could learn, because when he does his part, when he talks about when he was in the home and he was, you know, he was given up by his parents. Mm. Was he given up by his parents, or was his parents killed? Or when you learn more about Trevor, he becomes more rounded, and that's when I started to grow to like him.
No,
because instead of him being like,
I think
Trevor,
got like blinkers on. For when we do our review of 90. You'll be like, what was I? I was a bit drunk on bad EastEnders, I think. You're a bit delusional.
But as you said, the beginning of 89 wasn't too bad. And we both said, oh, I don't know what people are talking about. We even did an episode looking back at Pat and Frank's wedding, where we talked about, in a section of an episode, I should say, and we talked about it. So, you know, we didn't do that for every storyline up until that point. No, we only did it on special ones.
It did get so bad that I was struggling to stay awake while watching it, or completely not paying attention to anything. And even though you don't pay attention, you still kept up. I think the trouble with 89 was that it was every episode was an everyday episode, where you need everyday episodes because they're fine, you're part of the community or whatever. But then in between you have things happen. I think that's what it was missing.
I mean, again, you can get away with doing slower episodes when you're 4 or 5 or 6 episodes a week. But when you're still, at that point, 2 episodes a week, to have an episode where nothing really seemingly happened, you're right, it takes it away a little bit. I mean, again, they were criticised heavily at the time for kind of becoming this almost middle-of-the-road soap all of a sudden.
And I guess a lot of the characters are at, like, changing points. So, like, most of the year you spent watching things change. Like, you watched Pat and Frank change jobs and buy things and sell things, and you saw Ian grow up and buy the cafe and get someone pregnant and grow up and get married. So it was a lot of like change. Like, yeah. Sharon grew up and did this and that. So that's not that much fun to watch, I guess.
And also, three original characters left as well. So this was, again, another Exodus year where a lot of the original characters people grew used to had gone.
Mm.
So that upset, I think, perhaps the status quo of the soap a little bit too. It stopped being quite so classic EastEnders now, and it's become more, this is what EastEnders, especially in 1990, I think it's a new, this is the new,
new
era.
Classic.
This is, we're transitioning into the new era. 89 was the transition period into what is now the, you know, the classic that you could look back on as what's established the roots of EastEnders now.
I mean, yeah, we said goodbye, what, like, Den, he was an original, he went, but he kind of went in 88, but
well, he was in prison, wasn't
yeah,
he?
And that was awful.
And then, I know, but it was a way of stretching out of his, everyone knows this, it was a way of stretching out his time on the show. Julia didn't want to lose two big characters of Ange and Den at the same time, so when Ange left in 88, Den had to somehow be stretched out, and one
and
way
ruined his character.
Yeah, and one way of doing it was basically to pre-record a lot of scenes in a prison.
It wasn't really mentioned again, really. Like, Sharon went on a shopping spree, bought some credit cards, but it wasn't really brought up. It's brought up again next year. We also had the original character of Carmel. She was an original character technically-ish, bar a few months. Because she, like, appeared for Calvin and then disappeared and then came back.
Well, she was Calvin's first girlfriend, wasn't she?
But not really a character, but then they, like, kind of brought her back. And then
they brought her back, made her more of a main character. And she was always kind of there for characters for, you know, a bit of advice of how to deal with things.
But then she got her own family, her own set, and her own husband.
Well, yes, yeah, a lot of shoehorned people started appearing. So her brother appeared, obviously, and left his son with her. I liked her.
Darren.
I liked that. No, I didn't like Darren, but I liked his son.
Oh yeah, Junior.
Junior
was
cool.
And his little friend.
Yeah, I loved them too. The little.
But
tag
it was
team.
Weird how, like, Carmel's exit just happened. Like, it didn't really happen. People, even at the end of 89, were still like, "Oh yeah, she's coming back soon."
But it was a domestic story, a domestic abuse storyline between her and Matthew. And again, this was shocking at the time. Again, looking back at it, it's not a lot is shown. But I suppose again, it's baby steps, isn't it? Towards
it wasn't handled like. Brilliantly.
No, I mean, Matthew was seen as a bit of a bully, and I think that was portrayed quite well, the way he kept getting Carmel on his side, saying, oh, it's my childhood, it's something that happened before.
A bit Grey and Chantel.
Not really, because...
Yeah, it's because he had a funny childhood, didn't he? Grey.
Yeah, but the way Grey manipulates Chantel is totally different, because Grey's manipulation is through the violence, while Matthew's manipulation is after the violence. So Matthew would beat,
like, something
Carmel.
Takes over him.
Something would upset upset him. Carmel would say something out of turn, or something Junior would say would then upset him to then take it out on Carmel. But then afterwards he'd immediately be apologetic. So it's very much almost the kind of abuse you're not used to seeing, but you're used to hearing about, that it's very abusive for like a moment, and she gets hit and knocked about, but then afterwards he's very apologetic and he doesn't realize. It's almost like a red rag to a bull. It's like he suddenly sees red, but when he calms down he doesn't recognize that person he became.
It was a really interesting dynamic, because obviously her job, she's trained in noticing domestic violence.
Yeah, in a family environment. Yeah,
and she says, because she starts making friends with Dr. Legg's nephew, who also leaves randomly, like with that weird wife of his who disappeared.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Dr. Dubai. Legg kind of pushed him out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he decided to retire, then came back and said, oh, no, I'm not going to retire. In fact, I want the whole surgery back. I don't like your computer ways, your modern, fantastic ways.
Yes, and then that weird wife, who he hadn't really spoken about for 2 years, just appeared.
Well, wasn't that the woman who he said looked like Michelle? Hence why he followed Michelle around.
He
fancied Michelle, because he said they didn't look anything alike. In fact, the woman looked more like Pete Bill's girlfriend from New Zealand.
Oh, God. All these characters that are awful. They even managed to ruin Sharon and Michelle in 89. Like, I hated Sharon being so annoying. We'll get onto that a bit later.
No, Sharon got, again, better at the end, but at the beginning she was this proper sport brat.
The other... almost original character, but not really original, but Colin also left, which is where the Dr. Legg retirement storyline came from, because he was a bad doctor.
Well, no, it wasn't that made him retire. What made him retire was he'd misdiagnosed
Michelle's
baby.
But it was like a string of bad doctors.
He kept making a lot of mistakes, yeah, exactly.
He doesn't like computers.
I don't think it's a computer's fault for him misdiagnosing a lot of people, although this was a deliberate misdiagnosis. He thought that Colin would become more ill if he knew he had contracted MS. But poor old Colin, like, there's a lot of, you know, the word AIDS being banded about. And it was nice that they didn't make it so obvious that he had contracted AIDS and that's what made him ill.
Mm.
It was nice that it was multiple sclerosis, and he didn't want to be a burden on anyone, bless him. So, he fancied this guy called Guido or...
Guido,
wasn't it? Yeah, Guido, who you know, they both kind of liked each other, but... No, he didn't want to be a burden, and so he decided to leave. Leaving Guido with the flat, but then Guido just left
as
well.
He disappeared, yeah.
Yeah, like, nothing was said, really.
Colin's exit wasn't handled very well. Like, they didn't really go into his illness or anything.
No.
He got the illness and then left. It was really weird. But a year of change, I guess, because then the producer had his own ideas of characters who to bring in. So we had some fresh faces.
Yep.
We had some up north coming down south.
I know, it was such a blatant idea of all... Coronation Street's quite popular too. Let's add some northerners to our soap to really mix them up a bit. It was so obvious. It was annoying.
Mm. I mean, we've already talked about Trevor already. We had him, his friend Paul Presley, who was like the new Simon Wicks, who was like meant to be the sex symbol.
He was stud, wasn't he? Big muscles and all the ladies wanted him.
Because Simon's like the new Den, and then writing him like Den, which is really weird, and dressing him like Den.
Well,
and they're making Sharon act like Ange behind the bar.
That's
so they're
it.
Obviously
so they're
trying to replace
them. Yeah, they're looking after the Vic, and so then they've made them like the new Ange and Den, which is just
bizarre. Paul was the new stud, but he didn't really go anywhere or do anything. He had a weird like three-way triangle with Diane, who was like 15, and Julie, who was the other new character, who was the hairdresser. And...
See, Julie's okay. I like Julie. She's really brassy, and she's got this successful business. She's independent. She's made her own money. She can look after herself. She knows how to stand up to men and women.
Mm. But I think she's interesting.
Mm, she's really
interesting. I think it's a shame they got rid of her. They could have looked into her a bit more.
Yeah, she's kind, isn't she? She has that kindness in her, but she's always has that upfrontness to people that she never doesn't really release it very often.
She doesn't like women or trust women.
Mm.
So yeah, I thought it was a shame they got rid of her because she was like one of the good castings.
Mm. She's also always fighting for a man that is unattainable. So she did it with Paul, with Diane and Paul, and then she did it with
Kathy.
Yeah, because Kathy got a new love interest too. The Battle of the Fruit and Veg Stores. Pete Bill was not pleased when he found out there was a second fruit and veg. I mean, come on, Pete. There is a competition. All's fair in competition, and you know you could work together or you know fight these competitive prizes. It's good for the consumer, but not for Pete. No.
The one good thing is in 89 that Pete did leave for about 6 weeks. So
he did. He went to New Zealand. That's where he found his girlfriend.
And that was a duff as well, that he was going on holiday and everyone was upset.
Well, he got his premium bonds cashed in, didn't he? He found out that his premium bonds had gone like £4,000. He was like, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to leave the country. Yeah. And off he went.
He was still awful throughout the year, as expected.
I loved his exit when he went to the airport to go to New Zealand because everyone was waving him goodbye and Kathy just looked relieved.
Yeah, like, thank God.
Yeah.
And he came back with new hair as well, didn't he?
Oh, he's got himself a nice little reddish blonde barnet now. He's been...
Very natural.
I like to say it's the sun-kissed New Zealand lifestyle, but it's still there after being back in the square for another 4 or 5 months. So I think it might be a bottle.
The other character who we can... A lot of these new characters we can only talk during this because they only appear in 89 is Marge Green, who like suddenly appeared. You kind of thought she was an extra because she looks like an extra. She was a bit off with her acting to begin with, so you didn't really know who she was or what she was doing, but apparently everyone knew her. She was like another elder character. There was like four old characters throughout the year.
Well, they kind of brought back what the original 85 had, like all the older characters. So Mo was the new Lou. And obviously Dot and Ethel. And then they brought back Marge to be almost like a kind of whimsical,
like she's... a mix of Ethel and Dot, merged.
So she's got a conscience, but at the same time she likes to be a bit adventurous, but she's always been pulled back by her own mum because she's
quite a sad storyline she has. Actually,
I liked Marge.
Actually
again.
Get into it. She was all right.
I like Marge, but I think she's lost. Now her mother died, because her mother died at the end of 89, it kind of lost anything for her to be there for anymore. Like, Marge is, her story, it's finished now, there's nothing more for her.
She's got a few months left, and then she goes. But she was okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But again, everything in 89 was just okay.
Yeah. I mean, one story that was not just okay was the death of Donna. It finally built up and built up and built up, and she overdosed. And I mean, everyone said, oh, when you see her death, it's quite graphic. I mean, it's not again, to today's standards, it's hugely graphic. But
it's quite graphic. She's on the floor with, like, sickle over her, yeah, like, pale. And yeah, her eyes.
I mean, for 89, that is pretty blatant what's happened to her. And she's, you know, she's got the track marks on her arm. And Dot discovers her as well. And Dot just feels she's in grief for days and days afterwards, isn't she? Constantly reading the Bible.
Mm.
And Rod feels really responsible for it, too.
Yeah, Rod comes back.
Well, Rod leaves because he pushed Donna away.
Mm.
So he then goes off, but then comes back later.
To find that she's dead.
To find out that she's dead. Her, yeah, he? So then he feels really responsible for it. Because, he was... And Kathy doesn't want to feel guilty for it, but inside you can tell she does.
She had her own flat. She had her own problems, Donna. That's what the last thing she said to her, wasn't it? She was moving into her own flat. Had her own life, so...
Well, yes, because she asked if she can move in with Kathy, and Kathy said, no, I need to spend
just got
some
rid
time.
Of Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I've just got rid of one of my family. Just give me my own life. Which she has her own life, doesn't she? Because, as we said, the fruit and veg competition with Pete.
Yeah. Slight feud of Julie, which could have been iconic if she stayed, but...
Yeah. But Laurie's this hot new action for Kathy.
He's not even hot. He's really creepy. He looks like Slender Man.
He does.
From the internet.
He's got those kind of eyes, you know, when then they go, like, almost translucent when the light hits them.
Mm.
You know? He looks a bit frightening. But again, it's a short-lived story. He has this competition with Pete, and Pete eventually is like, you're right, don't worry about it. And
yeah, then we'll get on.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
But he still says horrible things to him every now and then.
Well, if anyone mentions anything about Pete's past, whenever Pat is mentioned, his face draws. Whenever Kathy's mentioned, his face lights up. He has a vision of how his life should be, and he still thinks that Kathy is part of it, and he thinks that Pat is this... But then talks really nicely to Pat in front of it. Pete is... Oh, it's so annoying, Pete.
I mean, Pat and Frank are taking over the square, like, by building.
Well, I mean, they're becoming, like, the dons of the square, aren't they? So they started off in the Vic.
With no money.
Yeah. No, but there's no room in the Vic anymore. So they bought the car lot to make more money and then bought the B&B.
Yeah, because they wanted a change of career after, like, 6 months.
Yeah, but not just that, because Pat wanted a bigger house to raise the family in.
Mm.
And again, it kind of took away any kind of...
Point.
Well, any not just point, but like the Vic is like the central place everywhere. And so everything happens in the Vic is almost the nucleus of everything else. And Pat and Frank being there was perfect. But then when they moved out of it, it kind of came irrelevant.
Yeah, I think the guy was aiming to have New Den and Ange, basically Sharon and Simon there.
Yeah.
But obviously it didn't happen.
No.
But we also had the big like triple storyline of Simon and Cindy and Ian.
Yeah,
because Stephen is born at the end of the year. She's told Simon that he's the dad, not Ian. Mm. So,
and now she's given birth to Stephen. She keeps convincing Wixie that he is the father, and she keeps saying, "You can see him, can't you? You can see he's your child." And now Wixie's feeling super guilty. And I think the fallout of that's one story that does carry over into 1990.
Mm.
So,
and probably like the most miserable wedding we've ever seen on EastEnders.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
She was like, Cindy was just sat on the sofa, like, upset the whole time.
Well, because...
And she fell out with Pete, of course.
Yeah, I would fall out with Pete, too. That's not Cindy's fault, that's Pete's fault. But just before they got married, she begged and asked Simon to
run away
together.
A bit like how Michelle used to beg Den.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
The new Den, isn't he? That's what he was doing.
But he can't be the new Den because he's not confident with it.
Mm.
He's guilt ridden. While Den was like, "Yeah, I've had a child with a woman out of wedlock. You know, it's fine."
Mm. Well, that's why he left the show. The actor, he said he didn't like what they were doing to Simon's character. So that's why he left. Obviously, in a few months' time. Yeah. So covered most of 89. I mean, there's
one
few
more
things.
Iconic moment. I'm surprised you didn't bring up because you put a GIF of it or a video of it on Twitter at the time of it happening. And that's the Sharon and Michelle fight when Michelle admits to Sharon finally that her child is dense.
Mm, that's good. That's like more the beginning of 89 where it's still good. But yeah, that was very good. It was like a two-hander kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Letitia Dean at her best there.
Oh, absolutely. Slap that dry slap. I think you should repost it again this weekend on Twitter.
The video.
Yeah. The repeated video of the slap sound is fantastic. Oh!
But we got through 89.
Yep.
The summer was the worst, I think, where it was just near impossible to watch, but we got through it. So we'll be saying goodbye to Paul and Julie and Trevor and Marge.
And hello to a couple of brothers.
Yes.
A couple of iconic brothers, one of which had a big week this week.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
No.
Sorry.
A big bald head.
Mm. There's lots of photos of like a young Grant going around on Twitter if everyone can find them.
Oh.
So watch out. He sleeps with Julie.
Oh, spoiler.
Oh, it happened 30 years ago.
Yeah, but a lot of people are watching Classic with fresh eyes.
Well, but meh, I give it a D-.
Oh, we're grading, are we?
We normally do. You say this every time.
Okay. Oh, do I?
Do it three times now. It's our third review.
What, of the year?
Yes. No. Yes.
Well, yeah, but it's the past year. Okay, yeah. So on grading. I mean, I didn't think it was D. I'd see a C minus.
You gave 2018 a C, I think.
Did I? I would say it was probably similar then. Oh, no, 2018 was a bit better. Okay, a D plus. A D plus, just underneath.
Okay, lovely. So that was our review of 1989. So in a few months, we'll be back and we'll be reviewing 1990.
Well, now it's time for us to close BBC One down for tonight.
What a year. 1990 on the way. Looking forward to it.
Mm.
So you posted on Twitter that we were doing a review of 1989 for the show this week. And we had lots of people who were very excited to hear what our thoughts of the of the year was. And we had one tweet, which I thought I'd read out. At Mr. Trick 4 said, highlights were Donna's demise, Frank and Pat's wedding, Den's death, and Matthew and Carmel. The bad outweighed the good. From June onwards, it was not so good. Funnily enough, that's when Trevor arrived. Like Benny Funny from that. Crossroads and Frank Spencer without the charm. So Mr. Trick agreed with us. We had recorded it at that point, and when we were going through the tweets and we saw that one, we thought, oh, good.
Although you did say you liked Trevor, so...
I did, but then when he reminds me, when he said about the Frank Spencer without the charm, actually, I agree with that comment, so yes.
Also, Mr. the Trick. Awful acting when he was upset that he made Janine run away.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh.
Yes.
Or when he threw a dart and it landed on his hand.
Oh, no, he threw the dart and then when he went to pull the dart out, it fell onto the palm of his hand and then showed everyone, look, everyone, I've got a dart in my hand.
Or the awful part where there was a fight and he got, like, someone touched his shoulder and he collapsed.
Oh, no. Again, there was a fight that broke out outside Frank Butcher's car lot. He stepped backwards, tripped over a bin bag and then knocked himself out. It's a common thing.
Well, Phil got blown up by a gas explosion. He was all right.
He landed in some bin bags. It was nice and soft landing.
Well, he wasn't that all right this week.
No, he was not.
That's a good little segue.
Look at you.
Yes, because we had the Phil Mitchell whodunit. Well, we thought it might be a whodunit, like a little whodunit, but it wasn't.
Mm.
So, sadly.
And we did a poll, didn't we, on Twitter of who people thought had done it.
We did. And but we found out straight away, but we did the poll. In advance.
But the poll had ended before we found out.
That's right.
And to be fair, you are all very canny watchers because most of you had worked it out.
Don't go too sure. We gave four options and we said if you think of someone else that we've not said, post below. We said Keanu, Ben, Kat or Stacey. So last place with 11% was Keanu. Then 13% was Kat. 36% and second place was Stacey. And 40% of people thought it was going to be Ben. That's a bit obvious.
Ben was obvious, but doesn't mean it was the wrong answer.
That's true. Well, it was the wrong answer.
But yes, but it could have not been the wrong answer.
Yeah. But yes, it was Stacey. And then we had a few comments. Someone said, not Ben, far too obvious. Probably Stacey, as Lacey Turner is leaving soon.
I mean, for me, that was the obvious reason that it was Stacey.
Almost too obvious, so I thought it wouldn't be. But then it was.
But then I also kind of knew, because at the beginning of the week, in order to hide her baby bump, they used a happy birthday banner that was fixed over the gate.
And a bush.
Yeah, and I thought, hang on, this is getting too much now.
Running out of time.
Yeah, we're running fast out of time.
The red coat won't go on anymore.
There'll be water breaking all over the place, and they'll be filming a scene.
So we're talking about the Mitchell side of, like, the Phil Mitchell storyline. It's got two sides, this storyline.
Like all stories.
So we're talking about that because we also had Sharon with her DNA result letter coming through the post.
Yes. It felt like a Murray Povich episode because, Phil, you are not the father. It's a reference probably a lot of Americans would get.
I get it.
If I had screaming like people Kyle. In the background. Jeremy Kyle doesn't exist anymore. We don't talk about that.
Oh, like Trisha.
We don't talk about that. Stop talking about cancelled shows.
Like Judge Rinder.
There we go.
That'll do.
If it was a paternity court.
Yeah, and she got her results. And again, reveal, like, straight away, alleged father Phil Mitchell is not the father.
99% accurate.
So I don't know whose DNA she picks up. We don't know.
Well, we discussed this last week, how she got the DNA and whose DNA it could have been.
Yes.
It might
probably
be
her own. her blonde hair.
She with her own hair. She's not the mother. She finds out that she's not the mother of her own baby that's growing in her.
So we got that revealed quite quickly. So it does make me wonder if that's Like, then there's got to be more twists or not?
Well, there's going to be loads more twists if you think about it, concerning it, because all Sharon did was tear it up into just a couple of pieces, put it in a big neon purple bag, and then threw it in a bin.
Didn't set light to it.
No, she threw it in a bin like 50 yards from her own house.
See, Mel last year had the brains to burn all that cash, get rid of all the evidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hunter was silly enough to go back and touch the bullet in the body and then put it back in. But Mel had the brains. Sharon...
Maybe she should have consulted with Mel to what she should do with this letter.
Or Michelle. Skyped Michelle. Help. You screwed this up for me last time with your interview. Your radio tape interview.
It's the same thing, isn't it? It's something that's just been left lying around. Where common sense would say, perhaps get rid of it a bit more cannily. Mm. And she's now going to... It's going to come back to bite her. Because Bailey and Keegan, to punish Phil for not recycling a plastic bottle
Bailey's
this week,
recycling. That used last week for Tiff's present as well.
Oh, she's good, isn't she?
Got a lot to answer for.
She does bin diving, doesn't she? Maybe she should do Money for Nothing.
Yeah.
Reference to the beginning of the show. She should agree. I could take this picture frame and make £50 from it. And she'll... But yeah, she's basically, with Keegan's help, put... the plastic purple bag hidden behind the overall cupboard or whatever they use, the locker.
Why didn't they put it back in the Mitchell house?
Because it's there to be discovered. Plot. Yeah, exactly. Plot twist.
Ben's going to find it, basically.
Do you think Ben's going to find
it? And then he'll blackmail Sharon and be like, give me the club, otherwise I'll tell Phil.
No, see, I think Keanu's going to find it. And then he's obviously going to put two and two together and make... the right answer.
Really? Keanu's not very smart, remember? The long wait from 2018.
I mean, you were talking all the time on Twitter about... Oh, God, I forgot about that, the long wait. You were talking on Twitter about Sharon. Could there be a third person who is the father of the baby?
Well, why not?
Just throw that into the mix.
Or it's either that or Louise's baby is Keegan's. Because that'd be funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they
you
did
said
sleep
that.
Together, kind of. I can't remember how long ago it was.
It was in the kitchen because he left his trainers there.
It was quite
there,
a long time ago,
Phil,
wasn't it?
Yeah, went off on one. But going back to the purple bag being discovered, I do think Keanu's going to find it. I think because Ben is pushing, because this week, basically, when Ben discovered Phil, he then planted evidence or planted the seed into all the Mitchell family that it was Keanu that had hit Phil around the head.
Yeah, because he found out about the will.
Yeah, so I think Keanu's going to be a bit panicky. Find this paperwork and then threaten Sharon to kind of get Ben to step down, or else he'll tell Ben that he is the father of Sharon's baby.
Ben wouldn't care. Why would Ben care about that?
Because Ben would care, because there'd be more.
Also, Keanu's going to like be in prison or under custody, isn't he?
No, not necessarily. They need evidence in order to convict Keanu. So far, all they've got is hearsay. They've just got Ben saying.
Yeah, but Ben's already gone round the Arches, hasn't he? Like, when Phil was knocked out, he might have already got it.
Yeah, but all he did was take the wrench and give
he
it a good clean.
He might already have it. He's keeping that too. I think that's...
Well, do you think Ben's found it already?
Well, he might have. He was looking around the Arches.
Also, there's going to be a reveal, like, in a couple of weeks' time, and you'll just see him, like, opening up this plastic bag and, like, looking at the letter again.
Putting it all together, sellotaping it. But he said he wants E20 because it's a gold mine to Lola. And Mel's... leaving or whatever. So does she own it still? I don't think she does.
Mel does part own it.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever.
She was trying to sell it to get
But Sharon
for
has
Hunter's
the
fees.
Most of it, and he's going to say to Sharon, I want the club. Otherwise,
I'll tell
Phil when he wakes up. Well, whatever happens to him.
When he's got a... I wrote it down.
I suppose he can't use that until Phil wakes up, can he? So.
Well, yeah. Phil's got a subdural hematoma, which is a serious condition where blood collects between the skull and the surface of the brain. I mean, a lot of people were concerned because he was just laying there with his eyes wide open in the garage pit, which could be a indication that he's in a coma. He's basically in a coma right now. He's literally the moment he got hit.
He's on his summer holiday now, isn't he? He has like every summer off. That's probably why they've written this.
Well, every time he wants to do something. So when it's the pantomime season, when he wants to play Captain Hook
again.
Well,
last year they just said he's gone to Spain. But this year they've actually given him a story.
Well, for Christmas. Well, I was going to say, they can't have him go, because it's going to be a big... This has to be a big...
He'll be in a coma for a bit now, and he'll be off screen for, like, a few weeks.
Yeah, but he'll have to come back from the coma at the very longest at Christmas time.
Yeah,
they want to keep him off for 4 months. I mean, they have to make a deal. Like, if you're going to be off now for 4 months, Steve McFadden, perhaps you couldn't work over Christmas this year, maybe?
Eh? No.
Not doing that.
But, I mean, obviously we know he was hit over the head by Stacey, but all that's going to be talked about in the Slater part.
The next part of this conversation.
Show. But, yeah, Ben's framing Keanu. Sharon is half believing Ben now. Louise staying with her man.
Ben's being very clever, really, because he's basically taking the information and then twisting it so it sounds like it's Keanu. So Keanu did have that argument with Phil, and so he's planting the seed that he had that.
And, like, loads of people saw it in the Vic. So.
Yeah.
Like, all the extras were looking, and you know when that happens, it's something you need to note for. And we haven't also mentioned the policewoman. Where'd she come from?
Well, I know where she came from. Holby City. She was in it in February time.
And was she?
She played a nurse, yeah, in Holby City.
It was really
City.
Weird, like, when she arrived, like, the camera stayed on her, like, we were meant to be like, ooh, her.
Yeah, I know, I felt that way too. It's like, we're meant to know who this person is. Like,
I did say to you, though, how disappointed I was. EastEnders.
It was an opportunity we all expected was going to happen.
Baby Annie needs the money.
Annie, Detective Annie. She's doing some detective work.
Yeah. Anyone who can't remember Annie, well, who are you? And stop listening.
What are you doing listening to this show? You're obviously not an EastEnders fan.
She is Mary the Punk's daughter who came back in February with Lofty for Dr. Legg's funeral. She is a detective.
Mm-hmm.
And, so why is she not there, detective?
And she works for the Metropolitan Police.
Yeah.
So surely she could ask to do a case in Walford.
Well, this woman. Also, if they're not bringing back Annie, why don't they get DC Marsden back?
I know, I was surprised they didn't use Marsden.
She loves Phil cases.
Well, the first thing she said was like, oh, so a Mitchell has fallen again.
And Phil's nine lies.
Yeah.
I do like the new policewomen, though. I always do like them because they're weird and different.
Well, I like it. I only like it, though, if they win. I don't like it when they lose. I hate when they get all kind of upset and stroppy because they're not getting... Things aren't going their way.
She won't be corrupt, though. She looks proper, this one.
Mm.
She's not like the one that Vincent had.
Oh, no way. No way.
Yeah, she was weird, like how they lingered on her. Like, we should know her.
I mean, perhaps there is something that we're going to find out a bit later on. She's linked somehow.
Maybe she's Marsden's daughter.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Baby Annie's girlfriend.
Oh,
that'd be good.
Yeah, or she's Ikra's girlfriend.
Well, Ash.
Yeah, she's Ash. Maybe Ash is kind
she's
of like
not
a,
Ash. I'm sorry to say.
A nickname.
I know the actress. Well, I don't know the actress, but I know of
yes,
the actress.
We do. Yeah.
So, oops. But no, it's not Ash. But
I was trying to add suspense to the story.
Yeah, but Baby Annie's girlfriend was enough suspense.
Okay, so Baby Annie.
Yeah, Baby Annie, who's 35.
Are we going to say, like, Baby Abby when she's, like, 35 and still on the soap?
We still call her Baby Abby and she's Baby Toddler. No.
Toddler Abby. She is Toddler Abby. Preschool Abby soon.
I want Baby Abby to be axed. I said that last week.
But we'll bring back original Abby. They should do, like, a DNA storyline where... They should clone Abby from Baby Abby's DNA and bring her back. One way around it.
Abby's still alive, I told you. She's in America in a coma being funded by Wilmot Brown's business.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
It's true. That's why Max is so moody all the time. Right, so the other half of this Mitchell storyline is obviously where we found out that Stacey hit Phil Mitchell with a spanner.
Yes.
In the Archers.
Indeed.
Did you get that? It's a bit like Cluedo.
I know, I tweeted it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I said Stacey in the Archers with the spanner.
Well, I just repeated it.
Mm. Well, you shouldn't steal my joke.
I don't know what you're doing. It was a bit weird how Phil suddenly became like super evil in like 10 minutes.
Well, not really, because he's always shown he's been a bit angry towards the Slaters since they stole the money.
Yeah, but he did go like, it was like, you remember, I don't want to talk about Alfie or Christmas Day, but remember Christmas Day and Alfie, like the second he walked up the stairs and suddenly became like evil, dirty den. Like he was suddenly really horrible.
And
that's the same as Phil. He like suddenly went, you better watch Tommy or I'll kill him. Wait, like, it's like, what are you going on about?
He did warn Kat. He said that, you know, everyone thinks I'm this now nice Mr. Mitchell kind of guy. But, you know, you shouldn't underestimate me, even though I'm, you know, gotten older. So he
nearly killed Martin. Like, what? It was really weird.
Well, because Martin tried to punch him, didn't he?
And then he got a crowbar and started strangling him. Like, it came out of nowhere.
It really does use you referencing the Christmas story. It reminded me of that because the Christmas Day episode was the Tuesday episode, which was great and high tension and very exciting. And then the Thursday episode felt a bit flat and deflated and a bit like...
Oh, God.
Oh.
That Boxing Day... The aftermath of this was better than Boxing Day.
Oh, I agree with you, because the Boxing Day one was almost as if nothing happened on Christmas Day. And it was just like, oh...
Well, they were stepping over his body. It was ridiculous. Yeah, yeah. But I still think it was a bit like Phil turned evil, like, too suddenly for me.
Mm.
Like, it just seems to come out of nowhere just so we can have someone, like, beat him to death.
I mean, it had built up a little bit because Keanu had wound him up because Keanu had cancelled his meeting with Danny that he was planning.
Keanu. Yeah. Shirley was annoying me as well for the first time ever.
I know, it's really she was a bit like the parrot, you know, in Aladdin, you know, when he sits on Jafar's shoulder. Well, she wouldn't give up. Yeah, exactly. She wouldn't give up. And she kept making little snide comments all the time. And it was like, all right, Shirley.
Yeah, she kept knocking on everyone's door and window and like looking through the windows. Yeah. It's like, oh, go away.
Well, she's almost taking her role a bit too far. Like, she's seen like too many mob films and thinks, this is what I'm doing now.
She hasn't been got a payday around yet, has she?
Well, she has. She got a 10%. 10% from reclaiming the money from the
Slaters. Yeah, she was annoying me. Like, oh, she's never annoyed me, but I was like, oh, just go away.
Jean settled her down a little bit, though. Jean used her
lies.
Well, this is it, you see. And this is Jean's only ally outside of the Slater family. So I think Jean is going to live to regret upsetting Shirley. Because really, there was that trust between Jean and Shirley. And it was nice that Jean had a friendship as well outside of it. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any sign of Jean's boyfriend, Aid Amundsen, coming back anytime soon.
I know, really
soon.
Weird, isn't it?
Surprising me, it really is.
Was he just one episode then?
No, I thought there was a long-running story with him coming. So
maybe she'll have that when Stacey's gone.
When Stacey is gone.
Oh, yeah.
She ran away.
Yeah, yes, because they were going to phone the ambulance this time, unlike Christmas Day.
Yeah, and they were going to admit it as self-defense, unlike Christmas Day.
I really wish Hayley was still there, because she would have been, like, relishing, like the Slaters all rushing home, worried, and she'd just be there, like...
screaming.
gutted.
Yeah.
She wouldn't, like, give two crap.
Jerry! Jerry! She'd be throwing, like, hair into fire.
But, Ben, like, put a gun on them and, like, said, don't phone the ambulance, so they were all a bit panicked.
Yes, a gun that Ben found in the safe of E20.
Yes.
There's a bit of confusion there, because I think a lot of people believed it was Mel's gun.
Mel's gun that they Mel's used to gun. Kill Hunter on, yeah.
No, Hunter used to
oh,
kill.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Ray.
But it can't have been, because it was in Phil's safe, so presumably it's Phil's gun. Phil has a gun in there.
He's got a gun in all his safes behind.
You know it's... exactly. It's behind a picture.
Phil's... Yeah, so you know it's a Mitchell safe.
Everything behind a picture is related to
not
Mitchell.
Not a Mel Owen safe.
No.
So yeah, he's threatened them. That's why they couldn't phone the police, apparently. So, yep, she's chosen to run away again, which she's done this before. And it's a bit weird, this storyline, because they spent time when Ruby... Remember when Ruby was about to kill that guy? And, like... Stacey took her to Archie's grave, and they had that like scene of Stacey saying how she regrets what she did and it never leaves her. Like, this now sort of kind of undoes that for me, because it's like, oh, so she's just doing what she did before, running away.
Yeah, and showing regret for what she did, and showing that she doesn't want... Although she was the first one to say, I want to go to the police, I want to admit it.
Yeah, but she could have if she really wanted to.
Yeah, I suppose if she pushed hard enough. But I suppose they put all their trust in Ben. Big Mo was the only one who saw any sense with this and said, what does he want? She was the only one who said, if
That's
he's doing
she's corrupt
this...
too.
Yeah, exactly. And she was the only one who said it. No one else thought of it. It's like, oh, hang on, yeah, if Ben's defending us for no reason whatsoever.
His dad, yeah.
His own father. What's he want from this? So again, he's now got something on them too, which they should see as a bit worrying, because we're seeing this side of Ben which is quite... terrifying, really, that he's basically out on his own. Him, Lexi and Lola, he's out on his own just for them three, isn't he? Because he said this week as well he would never do anything. Because he found out about the will this week as well, because Sharon dropped it by accident. He's like, oh, I'm so glad you're happy about it. I'm so glad that you've admitted, you know, understood why he's done it. It's like, oh, for goodness sake, Sharon. Because he said he wasn't cut out for working, and Sharon just saw that as in, oh, so you realise you're cut out of the will. It's like, for goodness sake.
Yeah, silly Sharon.
It is the baby brain, as you say.
It is. So Stacey does go in a black cab, decides to take Martin with her.
Well, Martin offers to go because Martin says... Because at the beginning of the week, Martin doesn't know the loyalty between him and her. And it's been Martin's birthday and she bought him a watch and she used the money that they stole from Phil to buy it. But at the beginning of the week, they went on a double date with Ruby and Max. And it was quite blatantly obvious that Stacey still has feelings for Max, because she uses the whole time to basically say to Ruby, oh, Max, you always have like people, you know. Ruby and I always choose the same thing for the menu.
I forgot all that. Well, Ruby and I always so long ago.
I know. And so she's basically saying Max is dating her through Ruby. But really, everyone can see that Stacey's very jealous. And when Martin asked her
to... really unlikable this week, apart from like the last episode.
Oh, Stacey was terrible, wasn't she? And, Martin saw through that and basically said, you know, you don't want to be with me. But then because Stacey whacked Phil around the head with the wrench.
She loves him.
She loves him, really.
She did a pooling foul the frying pan, and yeah. Martin thought, yeah, you're the one.
This is it, yeah.
So, yeah, they're going away. They could kind of do with Phil's money this time because they're running away. What did you think about them and Jean lying about Sean being, like, mentally ill, even though he's doing well?
I mean, it's a good excuse, and, yeah. it kind of gives a...
They did such, like, a publicity thing about mental health and how this is, like, such an important storyline, and Rob Kaczynski only came back because it's a really important storyline, and then they turn around and go, Sean's suicidal again, we've got to go help him.
I mean, it's we've said a few times, it's a very fine line between... being preachy and being pushing a plot along and being a soap, isn't it? And I mean, I don't think they've directly kind of pointed a finger at some mental illness.
No.
They've just used him as a reason for it out.
Excuse.
So yeah, I think it'd be more tricky if then you discover that he is in trouble and that people then realise that they used it as an excuse, because then that's not so kind, is it really? That you've used your own son or brother mental welfare as a reason to get out.
Because something must happen, because Martin can't be gone like the whole time she's on maternity leave, Lacey, surely. So he must have to come back.
Well, come back for the French fruit and veg store, because I don't trust a rota with Winston, Shrimpy and Kush. No offence, Winston Shrimpy and Kush, but I just don't
think... Shrimpy could do it all by himself.
Shrimpy could run the market by himself. Why, he's not the market inspector yet?
Yeah, that's what he should be.
He should be the market inspector. Robbie can do it. Shrimpy can do it. Come on. Promote Shrimpy. I'm going to start. Hashtag promote Shrimpy.
Because also he said to Kush, like, Kush now has full-time care of Arthur, and he has his stall, and now the fruit and vegetable is to cover.
I mean, that really wound
me up. And his
second
job at E20, if that exists.
Oh god, yeah, as the doorman.
So he's a very busy man.
Who's going to look after Arthur? Maybe Carmel will come down again and kind of help look after, because this
Bonnie
is
Langford.
Her dream. Yeah, Bonnie, this is her dream. She wanted the full care for that little boy. I mean, again, I understand it was done for the purposes of getting Stacey out, but the fact that we had to ordeal this
plot.
3 weeks of them going, I want paternity, we hate each other.
It's been more than 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah,
I know.
And it was all wrapped up in a really pretty little bow with, oh, I know it's hard, but Kush really should have Arthur. And then as Stacey and Kat are leaving, Kat says, oh, I do love you. And Stacey's like, oh, yeah, I love you too.
It's almost like it was written like, oh, Lacey's pregnant, better write her out. It's like, you did have, like, a lot of notice for this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it wasn't sprung on you.
No, you're
absolutely right.
That's
what it felt like. It felt like it was sprung on them, even though it wasn't.
But sprung on them halfway through doing this story. Do you know what I mean? So they had this story all thought up in the ins and outs of it, and then they suddenly found out that Stacey... Oh, all that camera work. Oh, Stacey is pregnant. Oh, sorry, Lacey is pregnant.
Yeah, better write her out then.
Yeah, we better write her out then. And it just seemed too nice a package for her to leave. It was a lovely scene, though, to see Stacey driving away very upset and...
Hand on the window.
Crying. Hand on the window. I did... I
stayed on the window the whole time. Did you notice? She didn't take it off once.
Crying,
until she was
sobbing.
off screen.
I did think Julia's theme might have kicked in. I really did.
It's not an exit, is it?
I know, like, but I did think it... I did. No. There's a little part of me that thought that was going to happen.
Not worthy.
Onto our list when we have to do an updated version.
Not worthy, I'm afraid. Right, so next up, I think that's covered all of that. Baloney.
If none of it... if we've not covered something and you want to talk to us about it... Find us on Twitter at EastEnders Week, or find us on our Facebook group, EastEnders Weekly Podcast. Just click to join the group.
Yes, that'd be fun. So next up, we've got a little quiz for everyone to take part in.
Get your pens and paper out.
Right, so we are back in the classroom. Libby Fox has got another test.
Need to dig out that Grange Hill theme again.
And this is Libby Fox's end of term test. So the questions are heightened.
End of term.
Yeah, even though it's not end of term, but whatever.
I think it is. It's the end of the school holidays. It's school holidays, isn't it? Summer holidays. That's why the roads are quieter now. Lovely.
So, are you ready? This is heightened. This isn't about a particular week of episodes that we've just watched. This is a general consensus of characters and diff-diffs and cliffhangers throughout
It's history. 35-year
Well, no. You'll see the... drift of the
is there
questions.
A common link then?
Yeah.
Common kind of. Okay, go on then.
So right, multiple choice, which we like.
I do, because it gives me a chance to get it right.
And everyone listening at home can also play along.
Oh
which
yes,
is fun.
And share us your score as well.
Yeah. Right. So question one: who had the longest gap between appearances on the show? Was it A. J. James Wilmot Brown. B. Lofty Holloway. C. Mary the Punk. Or D. Colin Russell.
I'm going to say C. Lofty Holloway.
C is Mary the Punk.
B. Lofty Holloway. I can go through my answer quickly.
Okay.
Because James Wilmot Brown was still there after Mary and Lofty had gone, and he was introduced in 2017, so it wouldn't be him.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Russell was there before Lofty, I think before Mary, but after Lofty, but he was there quite early on as well, it was like 2016 or something for
his wedding.
Where's his wedding?
Off screen.
Off screen. Now, Lofty left before Mary, but they were both back on at the same time. Mm. So that's why I'm saying B, Lofty
Very
Holloway.
Tricky, isn't it?
Yep.
Right. So the correct answer.
Oh, you're giving me the answer straight away.
Oh, do I not normally?
Normally you go through all the questions and give me the answer at the end. Don't know I want to tell you how to play your game, Ben.
Sure, I do, but it's fine. We'll do it that way. Right. So question two. In 2019, who appeared in the most episodes? 2018,
Oh, they start. Okay, 2018, yeah.
Yeah, because 2019's not even finished yet.
That's true.
Right, so we have A.
Oh, so it's 2000 in the year 2018, yeah. Who appeared in the most... So not up until that point.
No.
It's just in 18.
In 2018.
Okay, okay. You need to be clear with your answer questions, Ben.
So was it A, Stacey Fowler, B, Keanu Taylor, C, Linda Carter, or D, Billy Mitchell? Who had the most credited appearances in 2018?
I'm trying to think of the stories that happened in 2018. I mean, there was a lot of Carters. Yes, I'm going to say C, Linda Carter.
Yeah, even though Mick was in prison for...
Yeah, but she wasn't. So she was still doing... She was doing the undercover stuff, wasn't she, with Stuart? Putting hairpin cameras and stuff in her hair.
Okay. Right, question three. Who had the most duff-duffs in 2018? Was it A, Stuart Highway? B, Hayley Slater? C, Mick Carter? Or D, Sharon Mitchell?
I don't think it was Sharon, sadly.
she had a lot of...
Well, she had Shianus. A Shianu, didn't she? Mick had a lot, but then he was in prison, so he was missing for a lot of the year.
Stuart as well. Stuart. And Hayley.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Hayley
had about 17,000 storylines.
But wasn't Hayley only introduced halfway through the year? She wasn't in the full year, while Stuart was in it for a lot longer.
Was he?
Oh.
Don't know.
And who are the other, sorry, so it's Mick.
Sharon.
And Sharon. Oh, okay. I'm going to say Hayley. I'm going to just go
B,
out there.
B for Hayley.
B for Hayley.
Right. Question four. Who had no duff-duffs in 2018? Not even one.
I haven't had any.
So we have A, Dot Branning. B, Mitch Baker. C, Joyce Murray. Or D, Shirley Carter.
I've got a feeling it's Joyce. And I don't know why. I just think that she was so, they were just so not used and so unliked, and I'm gonna trust my gut and say Joyce.
Yeah.
Joyce Murray. Mrs. Murray! Plus, wasn't she dead for a lot of 2018?
Didn't even get a dead duff-duff.
Well, of her urn.
Right, question five and the last question. Who appeared in the least amount of credited episodes in 2018? Was it A, Evie Steele? B, Mitch Baker. C, Adam Bateman. Or D, Will Mitchell.
Will.
Now, there is one character who appeared less than all of those, but I didn't add him because he wasn't a character, is Mika, who is Kim's baby.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, good.
So I
rightly
got rid
so.
Of him.
So second.
Because he's not existent anymore for some
reason.
Well,
no, for some reason he just seems to have disappeared into some kind of time hole. I don't think it would be Evie. I don't think it would be... Sorry, repeat. Other than Evie, it was
Mitch,
Evie, Mitch,
Adam. Who's Honey's husband, yeah, boyfriend, yeah. And Will Mitchell, which is Honey's son and Billy's son.
I can't remember Will doing... Will, there was the Halloween episodes, but then Adam was in them too. I'm going to say Mitch, because he kind of came in and then went again.
Okay, and then so came... B, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm going to say B, Mitch.
Right, so let's go through your answers.
Swap sheets. We've got swap sheets for the person next to us, so we don't cheat.
I'm the only one with the answer. So.
Okay. Well, you'll have to trust me then if I take it correct.
Right, so question one, longest gap between appearances on the show. You said B, Lofty Holloway.
Yep.
And you were correct.
Yeah.
He had 30 years and 10 months between his appearances.
Wow, that's...
Long time.
Long time. It's a long time to dwell on the woman that you love.
Right, and question two was, in 2019, who appeared in the most episodes? And you said C, Linda Carter.
Mm.
And that is correct. She appeared in 138 episodes.
Yes, my logic worked for me. This is what I've done. I've been using my gut instinct this time. I've not overthought it. I'm happy with this.
Don't speak too soon. Oh. Right, so who had the most duff-duffs in 2018? You said B, Hayley Slater.
Hashtag justice for Hayley. Mm. Bring her back.
Missing. That is incorrect. The most duff-duffs was Mick Carter with 27 duff-duffs.
Wow.
Even though he was missing.
He was gone for 2 months.
Mm.
Always go with the Carter. I should have known.
So who had no duff-duffs in 2018? You said C, Joyce Murray.
Yeah.
Even though she died on screen during a duff-duff with her hand. So she did have a duff-duff, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
It's counted as a duff-duff.
Okay.
So the correct answer was actually A, Dot Branning.
Dot's not had a duff-duff.
No.
I suppose that does make sense. Although I question Joyce's hand being... I know it's attached to Joyce, but... I remember the scene where he goes, night-night, Joyce, and closes the door. They just show the clock. They don't show her hand, do they?
She's got a duff-duff. Right, so the last question. Who appeared the least in 2018? And you said B, Mitch Baker.
It was wishful thinking.
And you were correct.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't in it for very long.
He literally appeared in 3 episodes, I think.
Came in, stole money, left. Still hasn't paid that back to Patrick.
Well, no. So you got 3 out of 5.
Not That's too good. Bad. Yeah.
That's a Louise Mitchell.
Thank you. I'm pleased with that. I'm gonna go get myself pregnant.
So there you go. You passed, just passed. Must do better. Libby Fox's end of term degree. Right, so we've got the whole Taylor clan to get through one by one now.
I know, real family affair, just like the Mitchells, wasn't it?
It is. So, I mean, there was lots of, like, basically all of the Taylors had a storyline throughout the week. So we had the continuation of Chantel and Grey, where he's, like, trying to be nice to her, but also doesn't want her to make up with her dad.
Yeah, and because she's not forgiving Mitch for him hitting Grey... he's kind of quietly pleased, but not really letting it on too heavily onto Chantel.
He buys her a dress.
He does. He dresses up in a nice tux, puts on a Sean Connery accent and says, come on, let's go out. We're going to a casino night.
Our next James Bond, maybe?
Or do you reckon he's auditioning, do you?
Yeah, that was his audition reel. So yeah, she's like seemed like happy that he'd bought her a dress, and like, but we don't really see what else happens. I don't know if they went to this place or it's a fun night.
Yes, it's been left, hasn't it?
Was that oysters?
An aphrodisiac. I think it's just been left that Mitch is in the doghouse and Chantel won't forgive him.
Yeah, because Karen kind of wanted her to, but she basically said he's a trash dad.
And she's kind of...
Right.
Yeah, she is very right. But she's also given up her job-ish, kind of. She says she's not coming back.
She said, like, you might as well fire Mitch or I won't come back or something like that, wasn't it, to Denise?
Yeah, it's really weird that hairdressers, the Hare and Hound, or whatever it's called, the Hare and...
Fox and Hare.
I mean, like, you see the female beauty side of it quite heavily, but you don't see Mitch doing much at all.
No, typical.
Typical Mitch.
Doesn't do anything.
No.
But him and Denise seem to be friends, because at the end of the week, they're arranging things for Patrick. But before then, we've got the Tiff and Keegan and Bernie thing, where Bernie still likes Tiff, but she knows that she's dating her brother.
Mm.
And then also her mum is now dating a woman, which all of this sort of is spiraling into the end result of Bernie trying to get over Tiff, I assume, is the point of this weird story.
Yeah, Karen getting really, really drunk and then basically saying, why don't you just get over it? And Bernie's like, okay, and then that's the end of it. Mm. I mean...
I still hate the Karen storyline.
Well, Karen's done some research this week. She's gone online, Googled, what does lesbians do? Mm-hmm. And she found out that they wear dungarees, tie their hair up in pigtails... And drink lots and lots of wine.
Yeah. And she went on her date. She's not done anything with Karen yet. Not even kissed her.
No.
And
she admits to Bernie, because Bernie is kind of like the third wheel at the date. And she does admit to Bernie that she feels a little bit weird and she doesn't really know what to do. She knows what to do around men. She knows how to act around men and how to make the first move and, you know, the kind of sexualization of what to do around men as well, but she's not so sure what to do with other women. And Bernie's a bit like, well, is this a game to you? Is this a bit of fun or what is it?
Saying what the audience are basically thinking, like, what's going on?
But Karen does say, you know, it's not a game. I'm not actually messing Karen with a C around. It's just that I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure what I want or what I don't want.
Storyline this is. I just don't understand what the point of It was. Well, it's so weird. And it's like, is it ended now? I guess that was it.
Oh yeah, it has ended because Karen with the K says that even women dump me better than men do.
That's a bit of a wasted opportunity for the actress. Cause...
Well, no. I think underneath, Karen was trying to relate to her daughter a little bit.
Well, that's why she was doing it like a weird.
So, yeah, and the only way she can kind of, she's almost very practical, isn't she? So the only way she could kind of work out how her daughter might be feeling is by
putting herself in it.
Yeah, putting herself in that situation. Yeah.
The trouble is, though, without you saying that, you don't really get that from the storyline.
Like, no, I suppose
that would have been a better storyline than this weird, like, dressing up as a lesbian. I don't know. It's just really,
yeah.
I don't know.
And I think
weird
story. But I think the character of Karen with a C and Bernie both were somewhat offended by the way Karen went about doing things. And I think
Ben with a B.
Yes.
Me, not Ben Mitchell.
We got that. And Ben Mitchell on Twitter, you mean?
Oh, no, not him.
No?
No, don't talk about him on here.
This is your Twitter announcement, Ben Mitchell. All right? hello, Ben Mitchell on Twitter. And I think, it, as you said, it was a means to an end for Karen kind of understanding Bernie's way of thinking. And then it kind of allow her to say, you need to get over Tiff in order to move on and be able to love yourself and find yourself a relationship. A bit like what I've kind of done. I kind of got over my obsession.
My fake thing.
Yeah, my fake thing. Now I can move on myself. So I think there was that underbelly, that kind of underlying.
It could have been a better way to get her over Tiff, though.
Yes, of course there could have been.
It was just really like...
But it was nice. And yeah, it was...
But the trouble is, like, last week they did that Pride Week and they did, like, Stuart beating Ben and they have, like, the real emotional side of Callum struggling with his sexuality. And then, like, the next week they do the Karen... Like, if they didn't do them, like, next to each other, maybe I wouldn't be thinking, like, oh, for God's sake, what are you doing? Because they've done these literally a week apart, it feels a bit like, oh... Is it
Pride
a joke?
Week was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
The thing I was upset about the Pride Week thing is they kind of undone Bernie's confidence about being a young, you know, LGBT girl. And...
Or Ben's like being beaten up by Stuart and then Stuart's just in the Bill house.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Having Boggle.
That's true. Like, that is true, isn't it? Because Stuart's kind of just forgotten about looking after his brother and now he's got interests in elsewhere. Mm. But again, that kind of builds on Stuart's character because Stuart's trying to be this much more caring, much more considerate person. He's tried looking after
last
Callum.
Last week he nearly killed someone to death. He beat someone to death last week.
But again, for the interests of his family, his brother, because he thinks that Ben is manipulating him. Mm. And really the only language Stuart understands, as much as he tries not to, is the language of violence.
Seems to be too many strings on this bow.
But this is the thing with EastEnders at the moment. Everyone's in each other's pockets. So it's very difficult not to talk about one story without delving into another one very quickly.
Mm.
But Bernie does eventually say to Tiff and Keegan, I'm happy for you both. This is it. Clean slate. Yeah. Let's start again.
And me and Tiff are friends again.
Yeah. Which Tiff was really happy about. Again, so I was pleased. I mean, again, I say it every time. Tiff, the actress, brilliant. Yeah, Maisie, absolutely brilliant. And she is going to go so far. And it's scary because I think she could leave EastEnders very easily and find another.
She's grown up there.
Yeah, I know.
She had
Pat
with her when she was young. She'll be there for years.
She's got Pat's earring.
Exactly. That needs to come out in the storyline, please.
You know who's back then? I didn't even know he'd gone.
I know. It was like, when they like showed that shot of the B&B and it was like, welcome home, Patrick. It was like, what? Has Ted gone with him? What's happened? Well, Ted didn't get a party.
Well, isn't Ted meant to be sleeping with Patrick, but although he might be sleeping with
Patrick. No, he's back in his little flat now because Dinah died, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah, he gave it
Bailey's mum is dead.
Oh,
I can't pronounce her name. They went quiet, actually, about Karen like helping kill her and stuff.
If they did an inquest and it was decided that that was that.
Yeah,
and like Bailey's
her turmoil and guilt and stuff. Mm. That's just gone quiet.
What didn't go quiet was the reason Bailey was getting so invested in this whole recycling thing was because she admitted to Keegan that in the summer holidays, she normally spends the whole summer holidays looking after her mum. Mm. Busy. She's got nothing to do to keep her busy now.
Save the planet.
So saving the planet is her way of doing it. Coincidentally, at the same time, Doc Cotton is now trying to save the planet on Classic EastEnders on the Drama Channel. So is Dinah and Dot somehow related? No. Answers on a postcard.
We don't say her name
at gmail.com.
Because we can't pronounce her name. So I don't say Bailey's mum's name now.
Okay. Is Bailey and Dot somehow related? EastEnders Weekly at gmail.com.
No, they're not. That could be Slate of Family Values.
Oh, yeah.
Do that next week.
Yeah, why not?
And then, yes, so Patrick's coming home. This is a very short storyline, really random. They just plonked it on the end, didn't they?
A big party, considering there was only five people attending it.
Kim's gone.
Yeah, Kim's not even going. So it was Denise, Mitch,
that was it,
Jack.
Was Jack there? Oh,
Jack,
yeah, because he was
there.
Talking to Mitch, wasn't he?
Yeah, Jack.
Why is Jack there?
Because he's dating Denise.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Forgot they were even dating.
They had sausage rolls. It was a kind of party that if Phil Mitchell wasn't on conscience, he would have been there.
With an orange juice.
With an orange juice. Scotch eggs. There was a cake with the Trinidad and Tobago flag on the front of it. It looked nice, that cake. Welcome home, Patrick. Splashed
away.
Who made
that? Denise?
Denise, I don't know, in her downtime. She probably just bought a basic cake from Tesco and just iced it afterwards.
But yeah, very shocking. I mean, Cherie came with Patrick home.
Who's Cherie? Cherie with an E, not like Sherry.
I quite like
or
Cherie.
Or Cherry.
We've only seen Cherie for like 15 seconds and she only had like two lines. But I like her already.
Yeah, she seems pretty sassy.
She's cool, yeah.
She's like the new Yolandi.
Mm.
She's like the new Yolandi. And we need Patrick to have a character like
that. Or like
that
a Claudette-ish.
Yeah. And I think this is what's going to be the new beginning of Patrick. I genuinely think this is it. We've now got a storyline for Patrick, which will be intriguing and interesting.
She's quite a lot younger than him, by the looks of it.
Yeah, yeah, she did seem
Patrick's 80-something.
But he looks young for it, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He looks great.
But she looks really young.
Yeah.
Like, for him. But I, you know, he said, my wife.
Mm.
And this isn't the same woman last year, again. Because he went... She was like Miss Trinidad, who he was dating online, remember? And he kept going, and her name was Du Boing.
Yeah.
So is Cherie Du Boing? Was that like her other maiden, her name before she took Truman? Maybe?
Oh, so Cherie Du Boing Truman. Double barrel.
Is it the same woman?
Well, we'll find out.
Next week, I can't wait to find out more about Cherie. But Denise already doesn't like her. Right. She gave her a face.
Well, she knows that Patrick's got a bit of the money now in the bank, so she probably sees her as a bit of a gold digger, doesn't she?
Mm. And Kim's gone now, so she's got to hate on someone.
Yeah, that's true. Denise is so untrusting, but I suppose she's had many a pasta pot overboiling.
I'll be talking about Denise in my This Time Last Year, actually, in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Everyone.
Exciting. That's a link. In fact, we might as well. So that was the week of EastEnders this week, I guess.
Yeah, that was it. Stacey hit Phil on the head.
On the noggin.
That's my sum up.
Yeah.
If you want a short one.
My sum up is Rainey shouldn't...
Scrubs up well.
Yeah, Rainey scrubs up well. Also shouldn't trust Kath to look after her.
Granny Smack.
Yeah, because she literally has left her the whole week without looking after her.
There's no Kathy
after
this
her
week.
Promise. Exactly.
I didn't notice
after her
that.
Promise. After her promise of, don't worry, I'll make sure you don't overdose on those pills. Gone.
How did I not notice there was no Kathy at all?
You
like,
noticed...
Not even one Kathy scene.
No, you noticed there was no Sharon on Tuesday's episode.
Yeah, that was annoying because I wanted her to like be over the top, which she was when she burst into the hospital.
She wears her trousers a lot more as well, doesn't she?
I know, she's walking around.
She doesn't wear her
heels.
She's
pregnant, she's not allowed to wear heels.
Well done, you.
Unlike Louise. It also, I'm going back like four sections, the Mitchell section. Wasn't it funny that they all rushed to hospital? Louise had her handbag, her designer handbag, like, oh, can't go to hospital without that. And she had it like, she was holding up like girls. Hold up handbags with their hands in the air.
Oh, I hate that. Me. Yeah, they have it on the hinge
of
their arm.
Yeah, she was doing
arm.
That the whole time, Louise was.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going on to Who Won the Week with all your comments and fun things like that.
You know me, I ain't one to gossip.
Yes, it's the end of the show where we read out your tweets, your comments on Facebook and Instagram and emails that you sent to us. And also we find out who you believe had won the week in Wolford. But before we do... As we do every week, or most weeks, Ben has been delving into the past and finding out what's happened this week in previous years of EastEnders. So, Ben, take it away.
I will. Right. Going to start with birthdays and deaths because one of them links into my episode, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
So, whose birthday did we miss on the show this week? Sharon forgot to mention her best mate's birthday, Michelle. And also her brother Martin... Forgot to mention her birthday, seeing as it's the same day as Martin.
Oh, what, Martin and Michelle share a birthday?
Yeah.
Why do I not know that?
Don't know. I thought it was odd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 30th of July 1969, Michelle was born. So no one mentioned that.
Yeah, you think Martin would say, like, when he put on the watch or got the card, said, oh, I must remember
Michelle
to...
sent this.
Yeah,
or a card.
Michelle. Yeah.
Yeah, so poor Michelle. Sharon doesn't care anymore, does she?
No, she doesn't.
Busy with her
but she's
DNA.
Busy doing lots of other things, yeah. She's
that would
very
an excuse to phone Michelle, you see.
Skype.
One, happy birthday. Mm. Two, I don't know who the dad is.
and then closing the laptop as someone walks in.
Also, speaking of pregnant women forgetting special people's birthdays in their lives, Lisa Fowler's birthday was also forgotten by Louise, her daughter.
And she's meant to be coming back as well.
Yeah, 28th of July, 1970.
When she phoned her and said about Keanu and that she was pregnant, she could have said, oh, by the way, happy birthday next week.
That's all about her. Mum, shut up. Yeah. Lisa was probably trying to tell her.
Yeah. Have you bought me a nice present? No, Mum, I'm pregnant. Bye.
Deaths, one of our favourites, 26th of July, 1988. On screen, well, off screen death, but a brilliant episode. Lou Beale passed away.
Yeah,
brilliant. She had her whole week of episodes dedicated to her.
Mm. And, let's never forget that big conversation she has with all her family around the table, where she hands out her worldly possessions.
Michelle, if you're not careful, you're going to end up a spinster.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
And here we are indeed.
No one remembers her birthday.
Wise words. Wise words.
Stella Crawford died on the 20th of July 2007 by jumping off the top of a building onto a car.
Not the Vic.
No. Oh, okay. It was like the wedding, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, of course Stella? It was. That was Phil. No, well, and there was the big question mark hovering over it, wasn't it? Whether Phil pushed her or whether she jumped.
Yeah. So maybe that's why Ben's a bit angry this week. Yeah. He's remembering the trauma that she gave him.
The hot teaspoon.
And another birthday, which was Libby Fox's birthday, which was the 27th of July, 1991. Mm. So she is the same age as Callum Highway.
Wow.
Hasn't she grown?
She really has. I remember when she was just a little girl.
So, the episode I chose was the 27th of July. And again, I chose this episode before I do the birthday things, and it was a birthday, so it's really weird.
And they didn't celebrate the birthday in the episode.
No, she wasn't there for Patrick's homecoming, was she?
No, she wasn't. Is she still at university? She can't be. She must have got her doctorate by now.
Yeah, I think so. She hasn't, she? Because she had that abortion and then went to work or something.
Well, no, because she was going to stay, wasn't she, with Denise? She was going to quit her whole...
Oh, yeah.
Her whole, you know,
she
education.
Must be. She's like 27 now. Well, yeah, so she's like 27.
Yeah, but how long does it take to get a doctorate?
Don't you have to ask Holby City?
You have to
ask Shaquille at Holby City. He's training.
I'll send him a quick tweet.
Right, so 27th of July, 2010. And Denise, looking very disheveled, no makeup on. She's escaped the clutches of Lucas.
Oh, I love this story.
Everyone thinks she's dead and that she murdered people.
Two people, wasn't it? It was the wife of Lucas and her ex-husband.
And Chelsea believes it.
Well, Chelsea was an idiot. I hated Chelsea.
Denise literally comes into the B&B during this whole like weird celebration. And Chelsea isn't even like happy that her mum's there. She like has a go at her for being alive. It's really weird.
But because she believes her dad, doesn't she? Lucas.
Yeah.
Like Lucas's son shines out his backside.
Yeah, she was like, you know what, mum? I had a funeral for you and I've cried for you. I've already grieved. It's like, Chelsea, get over yourself.
Oh, she was just ridiculous. I can't remember exactly what happened, but something happened to her. Like, I think she had her hair cut slightly badly and she came home and she...
What, by Kate? Or Chrissy?
Sophisticated. Chrissy. And I just remember the line she said. She sat down crying on the sofa with Denise and she said, I feel raped. Just because she had a really bad haircut. She was such an awful, awful character.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because it might have been slightly wrong. But it was something really mundane. Something like that Louise would be upset about, but wouldn't maybe go quite to the exaggeration. Yeah.
Mm. So she's escaping the clutches. We also have like a community scene where Jack Branning's in a wheelchair. I think that's from like the Argy Bargy roof crash around that time, I think.
Or was it? Shot? Are you sure he wasn't shot? I think he was shot.
Maybe. Yeah. Can't remember. But they're doing a game of rounders with Pat. Pat plays rounders.
Does she?
Yeah.
I bet she's a real force on the bat.
A few years until she dies, but she's doing rounders. Abby Branning fancies Darren Millar. So she's doing like magazine questionnaires about like a perfect match to him.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he starts flirting with this other girl who looks really tacky. I don't know, she's a character, but I can't remember who she is. She's like a no one.
Probably for the best.
So she gets all upset, so she's like, I'm gonna beat you at rounders. And then as she's running around trying to like get a really like impress him, she's running really quickly, like a TV comes out of the B&B's window and nearly hits on like crushes Abby. So the fate was always there. But it misses her.
She's always destined to die on the square.
And everyone finds out that obviously Lucas is a murderer and he faked Denise's death, and Denise runs out. The person she runs to hug Denise, the first time she escapes everyone, she goes to hug Pat.
Oh, that's nice though.
Although I guess I would actually think about
it. I'd go straight to Pat.
Not Heather.
No. Was there any kind of chemistry between her and Jack at this point? Like,
he's probably annoyed that his rounders game was interrupted.
I'm going to get home, run then.
But yeah, Chelsea was just horrible the whole time. That's what I took away from it.
Yeah, Chelsea is annoying. I remember watching EastEnders at the time and hating on Chelsea. I don't think she was a particularly very light character, even by the demographic they were aiming
Libby.
Toward.
No, oh, Abby.
No. She's no Abby, absolutely not. Yeah, she's like the Lauren. She's like a mixture of Lauren and
Louise,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, unlikable. Two very unlikable genes.
Yeah, he was arrested and happy ever after.
Good.
Until he came back in 2017.
Which he did. I was about to say, I'd love him to come back.
He did, remember, in 2017?
Yeah, but properly come back. Like, reformed, inverted commas. I love characters that are reformed. This is why I don't trust Stuart, you see. He's not reformed. Okay. Him and Rainey, there's danger ahead, let me tell you. Anyway, so thank you very much. So what stories this week did we vote for as the best? There was four options this week. There was Phil's Nut Job.
Obviously, that's probably going to win.
Jean's Big Little Lie.
Nope, boring.
Bernie's Third Wheel.
Nope, hate that.
Stu and Rainey's Date Night.
Meh.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious which one won. So I'm not gonna ask you who won. I'm gonna ask you who came dead last. Which was the least favourite story this week?
Bernie Third Wheel.
Correct. Mm-hmm. With 8% of the vote.
Oh dear.
Who came third?
Jean.
Wrong. One day you're going to get the 4 out of 4. God bless
Stuart,
you.
Then.
One day. Of course it's Stuart and Rainey. Stuart and Rainey came third with 12% of the vote. Jean's Big Little Lie came second with 15% of the vote. I thought that was a really good story because it builds on more.
It wasn't much of a story though. It was like one scene.
Yeah, but it's the seed that's going to build on more. And you know me, I like little acorns that grow into big oaks.
Well, as long as they do grow into big oaks. Not wither away.
Kate Oakes. And Phil's Nut Job came first with 65% of the vote. Thank you everyone who voted. You can vote every week whilst Friday's episode is broadcast in the UK on Twitter at EastEnders Week, on Instagram at EastEnders Weekly Podcast, or on our Facebook group. Just search EastEnders Weekly Podcast and click to join the group. It has been closed for the last month, but it does now reopen from Wednesday. So if you're listening to this from Wednesday, you can type in Facebook, EastEnders Weekly Podcast, and click to join the group, and we'll welcome you with open arms. It's a lovely little group, actually. We all have nice little chats.
If you're listening to this midway through or in the future of August 2019, you can join us.
Yes.
Just in case you're listening, like, in 2021.
Unless you're listening to this and that we haven't broadcast an episode for over a year, and then it's unlikely there's still a vote.
No, the group will still be there forever.
Forever?
Yeah, it can run itself.
During a nuclear holocaust, we'll still be there. A few comments really quickly about the highs and lows of the week. April on Facebook said, Sharon knew deep down that Phil wasn't the father. Now she had to stir the pot with the DNA check.
Stir the... That's a bad use of phrase, stir the pot.
Oh, yeah, that... What is that? He probably would have died before the baby was born.
Oh.
But she wasn't to know that Phil was going to get attacked this week.
Unless she was the attacker, but she wasn't.
But yeah, good point, April. Thanks for stirring the pot. Ron on Facebook said, I think you've got a new game in Sharon's DNA hunt.
Ooh.
Watch this space, Ron. That's all I'm saying, because you have given us an idea.
That's a think.
Yeah. _ KCXX has said on Instagram, I've heard Richard Blackwood could be returning with Kim. What are your thoughts on that?
Ooh. Heard from where? Who said this?
An anonymous source, I presume, because he doesn't share it with me. Ooh. Although you can only say so much on Instagram.
No, he's just doing a new film at the moment. The actor, I can't remember his name, Richard Blackwood. So no, I don't think he is.
No. I mean, Kim's...
I would like him to, but I don't know if there's room for him at the moment. The cast is quite bloated.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we said we wanted Richard Blackwood back in the earlier times of this podcast, but now I'm not so sure. I don't think we really need it.
There's not room at the moment.
No. Don't forget, you can also send us questions on our email address, which is eastendersweekly@gmail.com. We do get emails through
and
we try to
one.
Reply to them.
Sean Felton.
Oh,
we'll
yes.
read it out next week, probably. It's a theory on what will happen to Phil.
Yeah, so it makes more sense to maybe read it out next week, perhaps. So yeah, so do send us in your emails and we'll read them out and we'll answer any questions you guys have. As always, we tweet live when EastEnders is broadcast in the UK. So do follow us on Twitter at EastEnders Week. And as I say, we're on Facebook and Instagram. So there we go. That's the week all wrapped up nicely, just like the story of Kat and Stacey.
It is. We say goodbye to Lacey and congratulations and wonder when she'll be back.
There's a big question mark out there for you. Have a great week, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show.
The cat is now in the place, so we now have to go. Because the cat is moving the microphones everywhere. So blame him.
Meow, meow.